Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Shock Factor Podcast on the D1 Baseball Podcast Network. And if you are listening to this, you are listening to Stephen Shock and his handsome friends, Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman, how are you guys doing today?
Happy handsome. Monday, Steve. So good to see you. Always a pleasure to join you to recap the college baseball weekend. A lot to get to today. I'm looking forward to this episode, as I always am. You look like you had a good weekend.
I had a great weekend, but you of course, you had a birthday, Jordan Schusterman. Oh. You're another year older and another year wiser. Happy birthday to you, first of all, because I haven't done it publicly yet. Jake, of course, had the Twitter post, but I wanted to do it audio.
Steve, you sent me a very nice text, and, you know, yeah, so I turned 29, and, you know, for a while, you know, it's like, oh, 24, that's still close to college. I can't fake it anymore. I am so far removed from being a college person. Honestly, Steve, you are what you keep me young, Stephen Chalk. You staying connected to you in the college game is crucial to my not feeling like an old fart. So I appreciate you dearly all the time. But thank you very much. It was a good
there time. Are not, as far as I know, 29-year-old college baseball players, and that's probably a good thing. If you know of a 29-year-old college baseball player, let us know. Jordan, do you feel more capable of playing college baseball right now than you did 10 years ago?
Ooh, interesting question. No. Definitely not. I'm trying to think of
More likely to make a roster right now because of like NIL stuff. Like, I think you could really bring some eyeballs.
Here's what I'll say. Oh, okay. That's the direction you're going to go. I will say that I think one of the goofiest thing reflecting on my baseball career, like if I ever took it seriously whatsoever, it should have been on the mound way more. I never had a hope in the world of ever hitting remotely competently at a higher level. That was never going to happen. I do think if I put in enough work on the mound, I could have scraped by, you know, getting a couple innings for a D3 team. I was never going to hit, and I shouldn't have ever tried. And even I think about that now, like how would I get to be successful at the college level? I got to say, guys, the what's the difference between me giving up 10 runs and some of these other kids? I don't know. the run environment is so out of control. Would you really notice just how bad I was? Probably, yes. But I'm starting to wonder.
Jordan, I think you'd make a great weird arm slot guy. Like, I think it's written in the stars for you to be one. I feel like doing this podcast with me and Jake makes you an honorary weird arm slot guy, just personality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, for me, it would have been all about the knuckleball. I would have committed to the super knuck from day one. I don't think it would have hurt me too much to try and go a sidearm or submarine like you guys. But enough about my imaginary baseball career. We have some real college baseball to talk about. Obviously, the headlining series this weekend was Wake Forest and Duke. I know, Steve, you watched a good chunk of this. I definitely caught more of the first two games. It sounds like I was probably lucky to not watch much of the third and final game. But take it away, Steve, since I know you watched most of this. Duke wins the series in Winston-Salem. What an impressive showing for the Blue Devils. But where do you want to begin? I mean, we don't have to recap all of it, but what were your big takeaways?
Yeah, so I was there for the Friday game, and there was a rain delay. Like, it got pushed back an hour, and there's still a very decent crowd at the couch while it was still raining throughout most of the game. So that was really cool to see just that environment in person. I know Aaron Fitt tweeted a video of it. It was sick. Like, the crowd was really into it. I will say, on the mound, it was a bit less exciting than a lot of people may have expected. Both teams have very good offenses, and that was also shown, and that was on full display, which rainy day, you kind of expect that to happen. Pitchers aren't going to have the best command. They're going to make more mistakes, and hitters at the college level and on these teams are definitely going to capitalize on that. And we saw Duke do that just about all weekend, but it was a really impressive showing out of Duke. I mean, going into the season, everybody knows that their bullpen is going to be one of the best in the nation. They got guys like Fran O'Shell, Owen Prosh, Charlie Bielenson. That last name is a nightmare for me, just looking at it on paper. The I before E rule always destroyed my brain. So
Bielenson, I before E except after Charlie B.
Exactly. So we'll write that down, add that to the children's literature books, dash Jake Mintz. But they were really impressive all weekend long, and Duke just played really solid defense. Their center fielder, Devin Obi, is a guy who really, really has impressed me. And of course, their right fielder, AJ Gracia. I have in person paid attention to five of his at bats, like really locked in and like had my camera out filming them. And all five that I have tried to film, he's ended up putting the ball over the fence. Therefore, I am under a firm belief that this kid is really, really good at mashing baseballs. And I'm scared to go and film him ever again because he's always hitting home runs. But it was just really cool to watch him on display and this Duke roster just in general playing like, you know, a top 10 ball club.
Yeah, and then we kind of got some a bit of a humbling on Saturday at the hands of Chase Burns, and I think
oh my god
that like were you there for that one, Steve, or no?
I was not there okay. for that. That one I watched.
That's smart,
on TV.
Steve. You should always avoid seeing Chase Burns in person. Definitely not worth it.
Good job. Don't want to get hurt. Don't want to get hurt.
I was gonna say I don't know what your seats were for the Friday night game, but. It's not like the Burns performance did not translate well on television. I mean, my God, it was just a vicious takedown of this Duke offense that is very old and very experienced, very talented. And while I am not a super fan of the hyperbole, that it's like, oh, Chase Burns could dominate in the big leagues right now. Like, guys, we just did this with Paul Skeens. Can we just appreciate Chase Burns for what he is right now? We're just throwing 100 with 92-mile-an-hour sliders. Like, he is amazing. He's one of the best players in college baseball. It's fine. Like, him, I'm excited for him. He could be one of the – he could be a top-five pick. He could be pitcher of the year, all these things, right? Like, let's enjoy him as a college baseball player. We don't have to expand it beyond that. But that was a – stuff-wise, it was a great example of, oh, my God, he's a Saturday starter. And with all due respect to Josh Hartle, if Josh Hartle's a little bit off, you know, some older lineups are going to get him. Chase Burns, when he's on, no one's going to touch him at any level of college baseball.
And it's the most screaming you'll ever see. And I want to be clear, that's not a bad thing in my book, but it is the most like unique screaming because he is yelling after like every strikeout on the mound. And I'm in favor of establishing a new paradigm of on-field yellage, and that's what Chase Burns is doing.
I'm with you, and I think the reason he can get away with it is because his 98th pitch, I think, was clocked in at 101. I yell at 83 on the black, but located well. I am the biggest tool in the world. He could go and he could somersault off the mound. He's still throwing 101 miles an hour.
Steve is the guy who threw norms as the guy who threw his glove.
Yeah.
So like you were a glove throw guy and you can only be glove throw guy if you're working one inning at a time or when you finish the final inning of your outing. If you throw your glove after every strikeout, like that's a tough energy to sustain. And, you know, maybe there are questions about Chase Burns. Like, can he, you know, hold the velocity in the big leagues into the sixth inning? Maybe. But I'll tell you what, he could yell the whole time. He started in the first after every strikeout. He kept that thing rolling.
I'm for it. He's just excited. He is excited to be out there. And, you know, this we haven't talked about the Sunday game. And I think we should We should probably keep it that way. It was just not the best baseball game we've ever seen or we've ever tuned into. That happens. It's early in the season. Get it out of the way now. These are both very good baseball teams. And if you are a high schooler and you're watching this and you're like, wow, I want to be a college baseball player, but it seems impossible. It seems like they never make mistakes. That's a game. It's a humble.
Tune in on Sunday.
It makes them human. That's all right. We move past it.
This is not even a half-baked take, but this weekend in particular, and I've felt this way a lot since we started covering college baseball closely, Sunday is just like its own universe. And like, I'm not saying that they don't count, but like, it doesn't feel like the same sport that you're playing on Friday. And like, yeah, that is, again, speaks to a lot of things in our current state of college baseball. But when you have a high level matchup like this between teams this good, and it's getting that bad on Sunday, and there were other things that had nothing to do. I know the umpiring was a disgrace and all kinds of other things, whatever, but Sunday is just, it's in some ways, it's like where series, obviously it's where series are won. It's where teams, you know, make sure, you know, if you're able to sweep, that's credit to you. But part of me, I'm just like, oh my God, these games are just, whew.
It makes me believe in God. Like, it's a sign that God wants us in church, you know, and not watching ball on Sundays.
It's yikes. But anyway, I would say my one other takeaway from the series, and then Steve, you can wrap us here and we can move on, is Nick Kurtz. Hopefully we'll start to figure it out. I trust that he will. He's one of the best hitters in college baseball. We haven't really seen him there. But I also don't think we're appreciating Seaver King just being like, yeah, I'm the shortstop and the center fielder. What's the big deal? Like, it's like not something. It's very, I don't know. It's pretty impressive. And he to think of that guy was at Division II, like, he just stands out. He just pops, man. That guy is really, really gifted.
Yeah, he hit a home run on Friday night that was, it sounded like a trampoline, like the aluminum bat power up in backyard baseball, which I know you guys are very familiar with. It sounded identical to that. It went cartoonishly far. It was a really cool home run. But I will say, just like, I, with this Sunday game, all I could think about was how intelligent the Sam Houston Bearcats are, where they just win Friday, Saturday, make sure that my weekly pick is always safe. That way Sunday they can go out and whatever happens, happens. They ended up sweeping on the weekend. So shout out Sam Houston. Always got to get a shout out for them in there.
We love the Bearcats. Hey, last thing on Duke and Wake Forest, and then we got to get to the tickling, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So new top 25 comes out today, and Wake Forest, who is at number one before this weekend, they drop all the way to number 7, which on its face looks extreme, but this is a great example of just like the mechanics of the rankings. I'm sure they'll talk about this on the regular show, where I guess you kind of have to have them behind Duke, and Duke was high enough in the rankings to where you can jump them, and now Duke goes to 6. And you still have, you know, Arkansas, you are Oregon State, A&M, and Tennessee above them. But it was a little jarring, right? It was like, we spend the whole season being like, Wake's obviously won. And then they lose the series, which, like, somewhat handily, and there's definitely questions with them. And it's like, oh, they're 7. It just feels weird. I'm not even saying I disagree with it, but it is kind of a strange, one of the first, like, top 25 things that I just found a little bit interesting. And seeing Duke at 6, by the way, is like, that's in and of itself kind of a wild reality that we now exist in. So credit to them. All right, Steve. Jake, you have anything else, or we want to get to the tickling?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. At the beginning of the season, the conversation was, you know, Wake Forest is the best team in the ACC. Is 2nd Duke or Clemson? And I think, you know, you don't want to draw too much from on weekend, but Duke certainly has put itself up in the conversation of, is it the best team in the ACC? That's all.
Yeah. And here's another way to think about it. Okay, Duke just won a series at Wake Forest, right? In theory, that'll be the best series win they have all season. I mean, I guess I haven't looked at their schedule yet, right? But like, okay, how much higher can they reasonably climb in the top 25? You know, like, I think they can. I'm just really curious about that. It's probably going to take some faltering from the teams ahead of them more than anything. But that's another dynamic I'm super curious about kind of moving forward. So obviously not involved in the top 25 conversations, and we shouldn't be. But I'm curious to watch from afar, even though we're technically, you know, associated.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to be involved in the top 25 rankings because this year especially, it's like, it's not a matter of who did good. It's like, who did bad? Who did the worst? And no one's doing bad. So it's like, how do we add people when we can't get rid of people? Right. But that is what it is. Duke, congrats. It's their highest ranking by D1 baseball ever in the history of the program. The program's been around for like hundreds of years. D1 baseball may not have been, but you know, that's fine. I think baby Kyle Peterson, he was breaking out his rankings at age six, I believe. And Duke never made it. So they finally have cracked the top six spot. But I want to get into who tickled my giblets this weekend. And this one's very simple. It's the University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. They hit for the home run cycle, which everybody, you know, home run cycle, very cool. They did it all in the fifth inning. They hit the home run cycle in the fifth inning against Alabama A&M. They scored 14 runs in the fifth inning, end up winning the game. They snuck away with it with an 18-1 margin. It started when I believe it is Easton Winfield hit a solo home run. Then the two-run home run came from... Who is this?
I think they went Grand Slam. Was Winfield also had the two-run homer. So I think Winfield had two of them. And then we had Aranda. Who is this? This is Marcus Aranda.
Marcus Aranda. Mm-hmm.
And then who was the three-run homer? I believe it was.
It was Ian Mott.
Ian Montz. Now, here's my take. First of all, this is absurd, right? Home run cycle in one inning is ridiculous. But I think that it is a good reminder that home run fun facts are tough to really pop in the year 2024. This clears.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what the competition is. I don't care what the situation is, what day it is. Home run cycle in one inning is absolutely ridiculous and tickle worthy indeed, Steve.
It's just at what point, what home run number are you just like, can we just end this game? Like, if the home run site, it should be like the hammer in Super Smash Bros, where if it happens, game's over. You know, you get hit by it, done. We're done.
Well, you know, here's the crazy thing, Steve. It's that they completed the home run cycle. Ian Montz hits the three-run homer. They bring in a new pitcher who I guess was like the third pitcher of the inning or maybe only second, and then another homer. So it was another solo. So they actually did five home runs in the inning. So yeah, it's
41 runs, three game set. That'll tickle the giblets. On the converse end of things, I do want to address, there was one team who took my giblets, took them to the county fair, stomped them, threw them in the fryer with the funnel cakes, and that team was the Miami Hurricanes. What the heck was that, guys? What was going on? You guys came back so many times. It was ridiculous. And then on Sunday, you had the audacity to almost do it again and then do it and then, you know, undo it. But still, the Miami Hurricanes and Virginia Cavaliers had a tumultuous series in which – it was just an act of defiance by the Hurricanes, and you know, shout out to them. I guess that was very good.
That's okay, Steve. Good, credit where it's due. Speaking of Steve's maturity and tickling giblets, I actually think now is a good spot for what you have listed on here, Steve, as personal development update. There was an example of a play in a game this weekend that was quite literally giblets being tickled. Can you walk me through this, Steve?
Yeah, so the game, I was so close to not talking about it, but here we go. The game, of course, is the South Carolina Gamecocks taking on the Longwood Lancers, I believe. The Lancers.
Yeah, Lancers.
Yes. That's a great day. So we got Cox versus Longwood, and Ethan Petrie is scoring on a wild pitch. He slides into home, kind of, I believe it's a wild pitch, and the pitcher's covering home plate. Kind of takes out the pitcher's legs. You know, he's checking on him. He instinctively turns. Very good guy. Very nice guy move to turn and be like, hey, you okay, man?
You good?
Right to crotch. Accidental. Right, you don't want to see it. But if there is a game for this to happen in, it is Longwood versus the South Carolina Gamecocks. I don't care who you are. Yeah. If this is going to happen, it's there. And I didn't tweet about it, you know? Just talking about it. That's progress.
I want to really –
So again, this
I want to give Steve kudos. Okay.
Thank you.
I want to give Steve kudos here. He didn't tweet about it. He kept it in the chamber. Mm. I understand we're chatting about it here, but it's very appropriate and respectful. And no. I think that if you had told me that 3 years ago, Steve would have passed up this opportunity.
That's true.
I would have been floored, concerned, and impressed. And I feel all three of those things right now. So, Steve, kudos.
I am sorry, Steve, that Jake had undone the progress that you made by not tweeting about it and making
it was on the document, bro.
That's it. Wasn't we? It was.
I don't know how it got there. I got hacked. I got hacked. Speaking of hacks, you know what's not cool? Cyber crimes. You know who protects us from cyber crimes? Maybe soldiers. Have you heard of the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Corps baseball bat by Soldier Sports?
Speaking of hacks.
Oh, that's another good way. That's another good way.
There's no better
cyber crimes. Speaking of hacks, there's no better bat to take hacks with than the Soldier Tank BB Corps baseball bat by Soldier Sports. This isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors, thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success, where speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the mid-hits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it to swing the top-scoring BB Corps bat ever. They're selling out fast, though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. Thanks, Soldier Sports.
Thank you, Soldier Sports, for supporting the Shock Factor podcast and getting those beautiful ad reads every week. Steve, let's transition to a couple other themes. Again, last week we talked a lot about the unbeatens, and I want to get to A&M and Florida State here in a second. But before we get to that, I want to just shout out to, again, I know you'll hear this on other D1 Baseball podcasts, but this D1 Baseball is just such a good website, guys. Like I know we've added some advanced stats like the synergy, the 6-4-3 charts, all that stuff is great. Just simply adding the team leaderboards this season, which is just such a massive upgrade over trying to, you know, sift through the NCAA site. To have a sortable leaderboard for team leaderboards is so incredibly useful and also just so fun to play around with. And the fact that this is updated all the time, obviously we've had the individual leaderboards, but to be able to just pull up the leaderboards on D1Baseball.com and just immediately know like, okay, like UC Irvine's been hit by the most pitches. I can find that out. And then also find out that, you know, there's all these teams that have yet to hit a triple yet, or that Dartmouth is, you know, slugging 390, or like all these things I can find out immediately. Whereas before, you're jumping around to all kinds of different pages. And when you add in the advanced, like the batted ball stuff, there's just all kinds of hilariously fun things on here that I just can't get enough of. So whether you're sorting for good things or bad things, I think this will be an incredible resource all season long. I mean, the one that jumps out to me now is that after this weekend, when Ryan Stafford finally homered for Cal Poly, we have one D1 baseball team, Milwaukee, UW-Milwaukee, has yet to hit a home run this season in 14 games. So come on, guys. Which it's 2024.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to fathom that they have not homered yet.
Small ball wins championships.
Oh, I might be wrong about this, but I think the irony there is incredible because they play at Henry Aaron Field. And he had the most. He had the most home runs. So, and they have none. Yeah, they play
at Franklin
Field. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I'm wrong. They no longer play at Henry Aaron Field. They play at Franklin. That makes even more sense. They play at Franklin Field. They used to play.
Who's Franklin?
27 seasons. Henry Aaron Field at Lincoln Park, which awesome. Hell yeah.
Henry Aaron. To get deeper, throw it away. I'm hitting home runs at Lincoln Park.
At Lincoln Park is so good. And I've heard that the old stadium's not great. They play where the milkmen play.
Jake, is it located in Lightning McQueen Town? Because that's the only way you can get another notable athlete and cool thing into that name. Honestly.
Henry Aaron Field at Lincoln Park. It's so good. But yeah, they play at the they play where the Milwaukee Milkmen play.
Okay. Well, I really hope that they got their first win over the weekend against Western Kentucky. And I really hope that we can care. Oh my gosh, guys, this weekend they're at Wright State, about 35 minutes from me. Should I go and cheer them on for their first home run?
If you want to see a homer.
Oh man, no, but I want to witness history. I want to see the first homer of the Milwaukee season. Anyway, so there's a million things we could go in this direction, but I just think it's
who hits a home run first, them or the Brewers?
Ooh, okay. So let's see, how many games do they have before opening day? They have, so they're at Wright State, and then they're at Northern Kentucky, and then at UIC, home on MLB opening day against Purdue Fort Wayne. I think they will. I have faith. Steve, let's talk about, listen, we gave A&M a lot of love last week. They are still undefeated after sweeping Rhode Island. Shouts out Hayden Schott, walk off hit to stay undefeated. That game was ridiculous. By the way, shouts out to Rhode Island for putting up 11 runs on the team with the lowest ERA in the country. So even if you ended up getting swept, that is extremely impressive. And my takeaway with A&M is, again, I think we need to be giving the pitching more love. Max Wiener is clearly, I mean, it feels like it's, again, it's not Wake Forest. It's a different thing. It's different names. But I'm like, they're just first in like every pitching category in the same way that Wake was a year ago, you know, a month into the season. It feels very similar. But Steve, I think we need to talk about Florida State more. I know they haven't really played anybody, but that it feels like a team as the other unbeaten team left that we deserve credit for, especially since you were pretty high on them coming into the season.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't play anybody, going 14-0, because think about it in baseball, how many times do you see teams just absolutely beat the crap out of themselves? Because you aren't playing against the other team. You're playing against yourself half the time. You can't make errors, can't give up free bases. You know, we talked about Wake Forest and Duke, two of the better teams in the nation. They both gave up a lot of free bases. They both can lose baseball games that way. But Florida State has just not faltered. They have stayed strong. They've had some really good wins, in my opinion, some tough-fought victories where, you know, they had to fight late in the game to keep that unblemished record, the same way Texas A&M has over this weekend. And I just have been really impressed with them. Cam Leiter, as everybody knows, is going to be absolutely electric on the mound. Big year for guys named Cam on Florida State. Cam Smith is coming around. He had a home run over the weekend. I believe that it should be landing sometime soon. I'm not certain exactly when, but I believe he hit it to dead center, which at Florida State is probably, like, you'll see maybe 15 home runs.
Shades of Elijah Cabell.
Yeah, oh my gosh, talk about a guy. That was a heavy slider AB Elijah Cabell walking to the plate. Because, oh my gosh, you give that kid a fastball, what are you, there it goes. There it goes. You're breaking buildings if you
can. Hey, Steve, you mentioned Cam Leiter. How about Jamie Arnold? Oh my God, Arnold still rocking the zero ERA. I know he's allowed one unearned run, 32 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 22 innings. And listen, again, like, they have the top in town is more on the offensive side. James Tibbs has been ridiculous. Cam Smith also, and I mean, everyone's hitting for them at this point. But to me, and this year, I want to kick it to Jake here. Like, come on, do we think Link Jarrett was a bad coach? I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, we didn't. no one thought that. So I am curious to see what this looks like as we get into ACC play. But like, this isn't that surprising, I would say.
He was just going to need more time. Yeah. Like, a coach failing in year one of a baseball program is not obviously the be all end all. And
I
so
think you're supposed to, you know.
Oh, so if you don't, this is not the English Premier League. Okay, if you don't do well in year one, they will keep you around. This is not the Dominican Winter League.
But I would say, yeah. Well, I just wanted to say too, Steve, just looking ahead here, right? So first of all, why were they exempt from opening ACC weekend? What happened here? Is this a scheduling thing where they don't
spring break?
Okay. All right. Well, I don't understand them playing New Orleans. I guess maybe there was.
Is there an odd number of teams?
I think it's every ACC team gets one bye weekend. So I think Georgia Tech played Youngstown State, I want to say, this weekend. So they both had bye weekends. I know Virginia's is typically with like exam break. Most schools, I think it's with exam break. I don't really know. I'm not 100% sure. I'm removed.
But now tomorrow or on Tuesday, we're getting them at Florida, which is some delicious midweek action. And then this weekend we got Notre Dame. So Link Jarrett's going to be, you know, welcoming his old friends to Tallahassee. So, and they've off to, they just got kind of crushed by Virginia Tech. So I'm not saying we're expecting too much from Notre Dame, but that's obviously a fun matchup. But then after that, at Clemson. So that's when we can really start to kind of lock in and see what we have in Florida State. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Who knows what happens midweek, but I wouldn't be surprised if they roll into that Clemson series undefeated. So.
Yeah, and I think this is really interesting, too, because Florida's also playing Texas A&M this weekend, so they have a really good chance to, like, bounce back super strong, like, to really prove themselves. I'm actually heading down to Florida for this weekend series. I'm very excited to check out those teams at Condren Family Park because that place is freaking awesome. Great food trucks, too. Gonna be checking that out.
Good ads.
Priorities.
Hey everyone, we're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Hey Keurig coffee drinkers, need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Before we get to our moments, though, I do feel like one individual we have not really talked enough about is Charlie Condon. Now again, competition, like, oh my God, Charlie Condon's hitting home runs against 0-15 Northern Colorado. Like, wow, I can't believe it. But the numbers are at a pretty goofy level at this point. And I would say for someone who was already considered one of the best players in college baseball, for him to be hitting. All right, let me just read this. Read this with a straight face. Charlie Condon is hitting 565, 659, 1274 for a 1933 OPS. He has 12 home runs. He has just 35 hits. It's ridiculous. Okay, the guy's hitting 565. What do you like about it? I have a very clear answer.
I like that he's hitting
Charlie Condon, but what do you like, Jake?
I like that he's hitting over 500. Yeah, Jordan, in the Major League Baseball, often the guys who hit the home runs are not the guys who hit the hits. And like the idea that someone can hit over 500 with that many home runs,
most homers,
it does make sense. Like the harder you hit the ball, the more likely it is a hit, and home runs are hits. But that Charlie Condon is saying "Por qué no los dos" is awesome. When you know our big league brains, it's like, oh, Luis Arraez, who is 5'10", he gets singles and hits. And then...
But Steve, let me, before I throw this to you here, again, this is why it's great to have these advanced stats, right? And we have WRC Plus on the website, which is, you know, average. What's average is 100, okay? So, you know, if you have 150 WRC Plus, like, man, that guy's hitting pretty well. Charlie Condon's WRC Plus currently sits at 295. So
that's insane.
Yeah, so he's doing okay. But what's your favorite part about Charlie Condon so far?
I was gonna say, Jake, the Por qué no los dos comp is great because he was a member of the Georgia National High School Spanish Honor Society. Not many people know that, but that's probably my favorite part about him, is him choosing that Por qué no los dos, and the fact that a general rule of thumb, if you can divide a batting average, this is my advanced stat metric, if you divide a batting average by two and it's still serviceable, just don't even bother pitching to the guy. This is one of those guys. This is one of those guys. Just walk him. Because, oh my God, his swing, it can be short. It can be compact and quick to the ball. But he can also, like, cast the barrel out and really charge up. Like, that I absolutely love. And so it's like you'll see these two-strike approach home runs where he's just trying to put the ball in play, and it's just exploding off the bat. And you'll see these 0-0 or 3-0 green light nukes where he's just like, okay, if you didn't think this was a home run, you are silly. You are the silliest goose in the ballpark.
But the thing is like, okay, obviously, yeah, competition's not been there. I just love that this guy who basically only played first base and like left field last year has played first, third, left, right, and center already this season. And they're just kind of letting him go, which is kind of cool. So showing off the athleticism. I don't know what he is as a pro, but first few SEC series for Georgia at Kentucky versus Alabama at Tennessee. So, you know, we'll obviously see him face some better arms here soon, but I mean, it's quite a head start as far as a, you know, player of the year case. So long way to go, but shouts out to Charlie Kahn. Steven Chalk, it's time to talk. Hey. About the moments of the week. Take us through these. I haven't even looked at all these. So let's
Maurice, are you talking about Maurice Mintz?
Who? Maurice?
Mo Mintz.
Mo Mintz. You. Cousin.
Maurice Mintz.
No, we won't talk about your cousin Mo, but we will talk about your cousin Curly, as in Dean Curly, who almost hit for the home run cycle in one game, which is absolutely insane. More insane when you realize that he is a freshman at Tennessee, and all of his home runs were absolute nukes. So if anyone's like, oh, some of those were wall scrapers. I didn't include this one in moments, just came up because Jake brought up Mo. And I fought so hard to find a Dean Mo or a Dean Joe, I think is the other stooge or whoever it is, Dean Larry. But because Dean Curly was his name, I was looking to see if any other
it was a good Three Stooges reference. Yes, very.
We try.
No, I appreciate it. Great.
Kids these days love the Three Stooges.
I know. It's for kids of all ages, you know. But I do want to talk about Tanner Thatch, who it's not necessarily a moment. He just absolutely went off this week. He was the CAA Player of the Week after hitting .636 with 5 home runs and 9 RBIs. He's a first baseman at UNC Wilmington. And he is an absolute stud. Over summer, he played on the Cape for the Kitsui Cavaliers, played really well. So who could have seen this coming?
Pay attention to the Cape. Happy birthday, Tanner. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Tanner.
Two Tanner Thatch things. One, anytime you can be named CAA Player of the Week, that's really impressive because that includes like Shohei Ohtani and
a lot of all the others. Yeah. That's wild, man.
Andrew Abbott.
Wayne Wade, I think, was CAA. So, like, you know, in all sports, anytime you could be CAA Player of the Week, that's impressive. And then the graphic that Wilmington tweeted out is amazing because it's a CAA Player of the Week. And then it just says .636 average, 5 home runs, 9 RBIs. And those numbers are like, why do you need it to say CAA Player of the Week? Like,
yeah,
like, I hope so. Like,
Who's beating that?
Probably not. Not even John Hamm, another CAA client. Steve, let's move on to Blake Burke. You're telling me someone got ejected for a home run again? Hooray. Wow, we love college baseball.
Yeah, so Blake Burke in a very nail-biter matchup between Illinois and Tennessee. I believe they were down at this point in the game, actually, Tennessee was. And Blake Burke, of course, mashes a home run because you threw him a baseball over the plate. When that happens, he hits home runs. We know this. History repeats itself. History leaves clues. And then I don't know what happened. I assume he was probably talking some smack to the Illinois baseball team, which is funny because it's like Tennessee versus Illinois, very random matchup. And then he's tossed, which, again, I don't really fully know why he got tossed. Okay, I know so after the game.
Steve, yeah, Jake. If there's one thing I learned from Aaron Rodgers, it's that it's important to do your own research. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done here today.
Ooh, this is from
an article by Cora Hall of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Headline, Tony Vitello explains why Blake Burke was ejected from Tennessee's game against Illinois. Tennessee coach Tony Vitello told reporters after the game both teams were warned after the catchers were talking to each other during Camden Janik's at-bat. That's the catcher for Illinois. This is Vitello speaking now. Blake hit the home run, and as he crossed home plate, I don't know what he said, but he was clearly talking to the catcher about the home run or telling him about it, added Vitello, which he's a smart enough guy. He could see where the ball landed. There's no need to do that. Okay, so the obviously it seems like the catcher, they were talking about. And Vitello being like, Illinois catcher's smart. You don't have to tell him where the ball landed.
Tony V has really had an interesting turn this year. I know it's sort of been remarked upon, but he is definitely a little bit more like, listen, we're still Tennessee, but I don't need to be, you know, the star of the show anymore, you know, or at least I can save my most fiery, you know, reactions for a little bit later in the season, which I
respect. Is a good compliment. We didn't need to do that. The other team could see how freaking much we crushed their faces in.
Yeah. Tennessee's another team. I'm just so excited to see how good they actually are. Cause I think it's pretty good, but I just don't really know yet, respectfully, to Illinois. Where are we going next, Steve? Oh yeah, go ahead.
I just want to close out on this, that it is very important to note that the Burke family is looking ahead to SEC play, where Blake Burke's mom has quote tweeted the tweet and saying SEC play starts Friday, which, hey, I'm all for it. You know, getting the mind right for SEC play. Tennessee has their priorities straight.
Well, Steve, you should clarify what the GIF was. This is important to the context.
The GIF says ice up, son, ice up. So it's like rest up, get ready, you know, because SEC play start.
Chris Burke, not related to Blake Burke, by the way. Blake Burke, Chris Burke, not related.
Yes, that is an important context.
You want to talk about people who are related, though? Do you want to talk about that?
No, nice.
We can talk about people who are related. I feel like I would have really, that would have been like Shaquille O'Neal hitting his head off the backboard after alley-oop was given right to him. But the Hacopian brothers, the Maryland Hacopian brothers, Eddie and Chris, both went yard for the in the same game for the first time this season, which is super cool because both these brothers, of course, their dad is Derek Hacopian, who was like an absolute legend at the University of Maryland. He had his junior year, he had like 100 doubles, 100 home runs. Not actually 100, but a ton. It was absolutely unreal. I think he hit like 474. So it's really cool just seeing people wearing the Hacopian name at the University of Maryland and to see them, you know, not only being brothers, but being good brothers who look out for each other, drive each other. And we talked about that, but this time doing it in a way that they can both take a jog, take a nice little photo opportunity as they're walking back to the dugout for mom and dad. Just nice stuff. You know, you love to see it.
Terps, baby. Terps staying hot. Love to see it. Steve, let's talk about this Dakota Jordan home run, and then we will take a break. I mean, this guy, I think it's just fun because he doesn't need the help, right? Like, sure, these baseballs are flying over the fence with ease. Dakota Jordan is, I mean, he's hitting some home runs aesthetically where I'm also so grateful that Mississippi State has just this incredible stadium and outfield where just like wherever the ball lands, I'm just so in tune to like, that looks so cool. Whereas again, even with Tennessee, you just mentioned Blake Burke, like there's nothing, you hit it out to right, it's more cool to left of Tennessee, but to right, it's like all of Blake Burke's home runs look the same because they go so far past everything and you can't actually tell where it lands. Whereas Dakota Jordan, it's like, I can always see exactly where the ball lands and it is so satisfying.
I do love like the new fence and left for Tennessee, the way that a volunteer could just disappear a baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really goes. But I think with Dakota Jordan's swing, I think he ranks last on the list of guys I would let hit me in the shin with a baseball bat. Because I feel like his swing would cause me to disintegrate. Maybe he's a good pick because maybe the atoms would just phase through my leg. Maybe we get like a freak accident.
I agree.
But that kid has absolute grown man strength. I'm glad I don't have to pitch to guys like that anymore.
Dude, look at his freaking legs. I mean, I'm sorry, but just walking this, watching this guy trot around the bases, it's like, oh my God.
He looks like he could pick up a Prius and just kind of move it to the side.
Whoa.
Full size Prius.
As an owner of a Prius, I recently had their catalytic converter stolen. All right. That hits too close to home. All right.
You aren't converting your catalytics anymore? I don't know how cars work. Steve, I'm sorry to hear about your Prius misfortune.
Thanks, man.
Steve, let's take a break. I know you have another ad read for us.
Yeah. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked back came together to make the perfect grilling tool.
Oh!
Now, Baseball Barbecue makes a patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional. I could make a whole meal on this. Should I get kicked out of my apartment living on the streets? Whole cooking table right here because of Baseball Barbecue. But because of Baseball Barbecue, that's also not happening. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast, Baseball Barbecue. Fun and functional. Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike. And a great way to out-tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life.
Nothing like a serious griller.
Yeah, I hate the
none casual. Of those joking grillers, those goofy grillers.
Yeah, the goofy focused. Grillers, they're playing with the hot dogs. They aren't searing it. They aren't locked in.
They're playing with beer. Lock it.
Makes me so mad.
All right, Steve, it's time for our players and pitchers of the week. Steve, why don't you start us off?
Pitcher of the week. This one's a fun one. I've been waiting to do this one for a long time. Jack Caglione went 6 innings and no-hit baseball against St. Mary's. A lot of people have been like, oh, it's St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a very good baseball program, and I'm tired of hearing people say otherwise. They beat Florida on Saturday, sure. They've had talented guys year after year. Nick Madrigal's brother, Ty Madrigal, he went there. He's playing professional baseball in Mexico. Ken Waldichuk of the Oakland Athletics, who might be playing in a different city because I don't understand professional baseball.
We'll explain it to you later.
St. Mary's Dale. Drew Strotman. He's going to be in the MLB
soon. Yeah.
St. Mary's Dale. Yeah,
nice.
You want me to continue?
Guys from St. Mary's. My one beef is St. Mary's. Their uniforms are brutal. I mean, it's a lot of pants are tough. The pants are bad. Like, I do not like them. Sam, I am. However, they are a competitive unit, and anytime Jack Caglione does anything remotely interesting, it is worth our attention. Steve, who is your player of the week? I guess you could just pick Caglione for that too, but
yeah, my player is going to be John Schroeder from FAU. He is a catcher. He's a switch hitter. He's a switch hitting junior. And this weekend against FIU, he had 3 hits. All of them were home runs on the Friday game, solo shot, I believe. And then Saturday and Sunday, he had 1 hit each game, each time, grand slam. Super cool stuff. So John Schroeder, only hit home runs. Don't waste your time doing extracurriculars like singles, doubles, and triples. Just keep depositing them over the fence, taking your nice little time to jog around.
The FAU-FIU showdown over the weekend, really once and for all determining, is it better to be Atlantic or international? FAU taking 2 of 3. I'm gonna stay localized, keep things in Atlantic waters and not international waters, kind of narrow my scope a little bit when it comes to Florida universities. Jordan, who is your pitcher of the week?
My pitcher of the week is Caden Favors. Caden Favors at Wichita State, who he's just making that great, you know, senior year transition of the rotation. This is a guy who was in junior college. He was a decent reliever for Wichita State last year and is now just absolutely dominating as a starter for Wichita State. And anyone who is still at Wichita State after last season is a hero to me. Same high school in Oklahoma as JT Realmuto. I don't know where Caden Favors ranks, like relative to JT Realmuto on the all-time Carl Albert High School, you know, athletes, you know, Mount Rushmore, whatever. I don't know how close he is to him, but this weekend, 7 scoreless, 10 strikeouts against Long Beach. And he's thrown a ton of pitches. He had a CG against Utah Tech last week. So, yeah, he's a pitcher I am quite enjoying. And I'm sure he's clearly enjoying being a starting pitcher. So good for Caden Favors. My player of the week is Blake Barthol. I know I'm shouting out Grant Nipp here on the StreamYard, but Blake Barthol, you were talking about like who cares about extracurriculars? Let's just only hit home runs. Blake Barthol was basically doing that. He had 5 homers this weekend, including probably the best moment I watched live this weekend was his game tying grand slam against Michigan. But then he, you know, has 4 more home runs on the weekend. And he's just, I mean, this is a guy who was not, even though his dad played in the minors for a long time, he was not a famous high school player whatsoever. Smaller second baseman, really, really good as a freshman. And now, if I'm seeing his birthday correctly, is sophomore eligible for the draft and is off to a ridiculous start. So he has not really been, as far as Coastal offense, I feel like he hasn't really gotten that much attention yet, but I think that's going to change pretty soon. So shouts out to Blake Barthol.
I feel like Coastal Carolina is one of those schools where, like, if you were overlooked in high school, it's the place for you. Like, it's the program where it's like, we're going to have that attitude of like, hey, screw you guys. Like, when I was talking to Joe Healy the other week, I was talking about the Palmetto series and how it's like whoever wins it between Clemson and South Carolina is going to be like, oh, we own the state. And Joe Healy goes, yes. And as soon as they say we own the state, Coastal Carolina is going to come out with a folding table, a metal chair, and it's going to be a WWE style beatdown. And I feel like that perfectly summarizes what we get out of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers in the best way possible. Really?
Yes. Amen. All right, Jake, who are your players and pitchers of the week?
So I've decided that you guys are very skilled at finding guys who had like good numbers. I'm going to just keep zagging every week. I'm going to pick DJ Dillahay of Brown University. DJ Dillahay has a stat line that I am struggling to understand.
How do you spell that? This is a name I've...
DJ
Dillahay. I don't even know.
I'm gonna be honest, my brain's still trying to bounce back from FAU FIU, so I'm gonna sit this
wait, no, Steve out. If you've never seen this name, I actually want us to both try and guess how this is spelled.
DJ Dillahay.
Dillahay, am I saying this correctly?
DJ Dillahay.
Where's Dillahay? Can you say the school one more time?
Brown.
Brown. Yep.
Okay.
Can you use Brown in a sentence?
I'm going to give it a go here. All right. So Steve, you can take cues for me. Dillahay. Dillahay. Steve, go ahead.
Now you say it again. You say Dillahay when you spell. Oh,
Dillahay. Dillahay.
Dillahay. Thank you.
Steve?
All right. I'm going to go more southern spelling of, I believe, DJ. We're just going to leave that DJ. That feels right. Dillahay?
Yeah. Dillahay.
D-I-L-L-E-I-G-H.
Delay.
Delay. No.
Oh, okay. No, I like that. I like that. I think you're going with the
E-I-H-E-Y. Dillahay at the end. There we go.
This guy is from Tennessee.
Okay.
Even though he plays at Brown, you're both wrong. It is Dillahay. Although Steve's guess was worth the exercise because I was just unhinged. Anyway, DJ Dillahay, I need someone to explain this to me, has a higher batting average than on base percentage this year. He has played in all of Brown's 10 games. He has been probably their second best hitter this year, maybe their third best hitter. He is hitting well. He has not walked. He has not been hit by a pitch, but his average is 317 and his OBP is 310. Can someone explain this to me? Like, I'm an idiot. What am I missing?
I think it's the sack fly, right? The walks and the sack fly.
What would the sack fly do?
Would a sack bunt do something?
A sack fly doesn't get you on base or help your average.
Okay, but Wait, batting average higher than OBP. No, I think it.
Sack fly? I guess the sack fly doesn't help OBP, but it doesn't count against your average.
Look, Jake, they're at Brown. If there's a team that knows how to do it, they're going to be able to do it. You know, they're smart, right?
Yeah. Anyway, this feels incredibly weird and rare.
It's sack flies. It's 100% sack flies. Because if you have more sack flies than walks, I guess that's I think what you're looking at. Yeah, we'll see if this sustains for Mr. Dillahay. But I'm glad you're digging into the Ivy League numbers.
Yeah, man, that's just what I do. But over the weekend, DJ Dillahay continued hitting very well. Continued not walking at all. He had 7 hits this weekend. And no walks at all. The pitcher of the week, Armando Sierra, is back with a vengeance. I mentioned him last week, Mississippi Valley State. He had thrown 2 complete games despite being mediocre in both of them. And guess what, friends? He threw another complete game.
This time, 9 innings?
He went all 9 innings. In a 13-2 win against Arkansas Pine Bluff. 9 innings, 2 earned runs,
that, dude.
4 Ks, 1 walk. Oh,
dude, I swear, you go back and listen to when you talked about Armando last week. I said, Arkansas Pine Bluff, they're scuffling on offense. I could see another CG coming for Armando.
And Armando absolutely Sierra, only CG. CG only. That's all he does. 3 starts, 3 CGs. He has thrown 25 innings across 3 starts.
He is the only pitcher. Again, you know, pull up these awesome leaderboards. Isaiah Zavala at Incarnate Word and Jack Stellano at Bradley have each thrown 2 complete games, but they have also appeared in other games. So
now we do not have pitch number data. Like, I don't know how many pitches this guy threw the other day.
Okay, we'll just assume.
I'll go back and count by hand.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you for those. Steve, the only update.
I should just say they have Bethune-Cookman this weekend. I think they're generally pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. He might get knocked out in the 8th.
honestly, I just think it's such a missed NIL opportunity with Sierra Mist moving to Starry. You know what? Sierra Mist.
Oh,
sponsoring Armando Sierra.
They really Sierra missed up. A lot of bats. There you go.
Quick update on the team's draft. Steve's still running away with things. His team is up to Steve's teams are 117 and 37. My teams are 105 and 48. Jake's team's 92 and 52. Jake, your USC and UConn picks are just tanking your entire season. I hate
to trade them.
Maybe at some point during the year we can like ditch teams and then add on, or at least add some new ones. I think you have to kind of live with the guy. I mean, I'm stuck with Oral Roberts, but you know, I think that maybe we'll mix in some new ones at some point.
What if we get a vote where people on Twitter select which of us each week one person has to switch out a team, something like that. Mm-hmm. But where we can figure it out later, but we'll add some spice.
Steve, if I'm you, you're chilling. You're way ahead of us. You'd have to really choke lead, which you could. There's a lot of time left in the season.
We aren't scheduling cupcakes early. That's not what we're doing. We're going for strength of schedule, even though it doesn't matter. You know, we've had the cakewalk. We don't want it anymore.
We'll find out. We'll see how these standings adjust going into more conference play. All right, we're done. Thank you all. SEC is starting this week. Guys, that's exciting. I'm very excited for
just
that. Steve, wait, where are you going to be?
This weekend, we are going down to Gainesville, Florida.
All right, for A&M. See
Florida Gators and Texas A&M Aggies.
Oh, my gosh. All right. That will be delightful. I'm sure you'll have a great time. Thank you everyone for listening. Always a pleasure to join you, Steve. Say goodbye to everybody and the podcast.
Oh, I'll do that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. Of course, thank you to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for not only making this possible, but when I'm grilling and hitting batting practice at the same time, I just look around and I say, thank God for the Shock Factor podcast, making this all possible. I know I'm not as serious grilling as I should be with the tongs, but got to get that batting practice in somehow. I'm heating up baseballs on the grill and hitting them, seeing a way to juice them a little bit more so we can get more home runs in college baseball. That is it. I am out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. We will talk to you later this week.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.